Well, good morning, everybody. I hope you're doing well. Let me just read to you a few verses from Psalm 98. They were in our worship guide this morning, if you read them. Psalm 98, a psalm. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. And we want to think about that this morning, that all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of God. And how do they see it? They see it through the church. They see it through the gospel as it spreads, as churches are established, the gospel gets incarnated and spread throughout the nations. That's how they see it. So we're going to think about that a little bit today. Let me just remind you of our midweek studies, Hebrews on Tuesday and Thursday at 12 o'clock on Facebook Live, and then Dara, God willing, Wednesday at 12 in the book of James. And listen, next week we're going to send out updates. We're going to tell you everything you need to know about how we are going to transition back to physical gatherings. We're going to continue an online presence, at least in the short term. So that's going to be an option for you, but we're also going to begin to transition to physical gatherings. And please be praying for us. It's not just a matter of us saying, "Hey, let's get together again." We've had conversations with many people. It's very complex. There's a lot of nuance. It's very fluid. So be praying for us. But we'll let you know everything that you need to know about meeting together. We might all be online next week, July 5th. We may be looking at July 12th to meet together again physically. But stay tuned and we'll let you know. Please also pray for Yonka and Gabriel. They had their little baby girl last week, Emma Rose, and we're delighted for them. And so pray for them as they transition to a third member of their family. And then following everything today, stay tuned for a special notice from Dara. Dara he's a director of the church, and he's one of our GDPR experts. And we're having to transition away from from WhatsApp in order to be compliant with GDPR. And so we've come up with a solution. We've had some people do a lot of work to help us come up with a solution. And Dara is going to explain that a little bit at the end. So if you want to keep getting information and notices from us, then you need to listen because there's an action step that you need to take. So Dara will be with us at the very end to walk us through that. It's going to be a little different today. As you notice, we're premiering a video rather than going live. And the reason for that is a year ago, we had made arrangements for a special guest to be with us in person, and then COVID happened. And so we thought, well, we're online anyway, so why not just have him anyway? So Mervin Scott is with us today. And Mervin spent many years down in Cork doing church planting with Baptist Missions. Baptist Missions is the mission wing of the Association of Irish Baptist Churches, which we're a part of. And Mervin and his wife Karen and their family were church planters there. And so from Cork Baptist Church, God raised up several different churches as the gospel spread throughout Cork and Kerry, and Mervin played a part in that. And so I wanted you to hear his story and to meet him and to get to know him. And at present, Mervin is now the director of Baptist Missions. So he continues to play a role, but now he facilitates church planters in the Republic and in Peru, where Baptist Missions also works. So, what we're going to do is we're going to transition to an interview that I did with Mervin, where I asked him to share with us his experience, and I asked him to talk about his current role as the director of Baptist Missions, and then to share with us what he hopes to see God do on the island of Ireland and how we might play a part in it. I resonate with Mervyn's story because my prayer and my desire is that from Galway City Baptist, that other churches would be planted throughout County Galway. And so one of the reasons that we brought Will and Sarah Myron in was to kind of spearhead a church plant in Oranmore. And so, man, our hope is that many of you would feel a sense of calling from God as you get to know them, to join them, and to become a part of what might become a new church in Oranmore. So I hope you enjoy meeting Mervyn. I wish you could meet him in person. He's a great guy. We love him. We love his family. But let's pray, and then we will have this interview with Mervyn. And then following that, he has a very brief little devotional thought from Scripture to share with us, to encourage us as we spread the message of the gospel throughout our city. Father, thank you for today, and we pray for Mervyn and his ministry. We pray you bless it, and we pray, Father, that it might stimulate and encourage us as we seek to do ministry here. So help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're here with Mervyn Scott. Mervyn, it's nice to see you, as always. Always enjoy chatting with you. So just wanted to ask you these three questions and hear your heart, not only your heart for church planting. I know that you've had a lot of experience in that, and you've seen God do some great things, but also your heart for the ministry that God has called you to presently, which is facilitating church planting and other kinds of ministry through Baptist missions. So just to begin, just tell us a little bit about your story before you came to this role, when you and your family were down in Cork, and what you saw God do. Because like I've said to you before, we really want to see something like that happen in Galway and in Connacht as well. But just tell us a little bit about your experience and what you saw God do.
Well, we moved to Cork as a family in August 97, with two children then. We have four now, and three of them are adults. But I suppose, to be honest, we were only a very small cog of a much bigger wheel, or a much bigger set of wheels. And if I can go back slightly before we came, so in 1980, there was one small Baptist church in Cork City, which has its origins back to the 1600s. And one night in that church, two or three of the elders laid out a map of Cork City and County on the communion table, and began to pray that God would raise up churches, lights of witness to the Lord Jesus, in other towns and places in Cork. Now, humanly speaking, it seemed impossible. With the partnership of Baptist Missions, and the Baptist Missions worker who was working in Cork at the time, he began to work into the town of Carrigaline. And in 87, a church was planted in Carrigaline. From that then, the pastor of the church, a man called Ted Kelly, there was other people coming from the town of Middleton into Cork to worship, a 17-mile journey. And they had a vision to see another church being planted. So in 1992, they sent some of their members again who were coming from Middleton, and maybe one or two more, and a church was planted in the town of Middleton. So those three churches, when I arrived in Cork in 97, those three churches, two of whom had been formed out of the other, had a vision to see in the city of Cork and in Cork County more Baptist churches planted in those areas. And so I came, and my brief was to really, meet people and go out into three areas chosen by those churches, Youghal, Kinsale, and a suburb of Cork, and just gossip the gospel, make contact with people, knock on doors, whatever it means it could be, with the aim of seeing people coming to faith and seeing new churches planted. In the goodness of God, in time, we actually moved to the town of Youghal, and the Lord's goodness, the church was planted there, which actually is celebrating its 10th anniversary this coming weekend. And so that was a joy to see God doing that. And so the Middleton church, if you like, that itself had been planted in 92, planted again in 2010. Meanwhile, earlier than that, in Cork City, the Cork church again gave away quite a few of its members, which was quite a sacrifice for them. The Cork church suffered quite a bit in giving people away all the time. But in 2006, the Douglas Church was formed. And they, at the moment, are involved in seeking to plant another church in a place called Passage West. And in fact, just before the lockdown, they had their first morning service on the 8th of March. And then lockdown came. But again, the desire there is to see another church planted in Passage West. And so that I suppose, has been the joy. And then Kinsale Church was planted in 2015. And so it's another church, smaller, and I suppose, you know, hasn't grown a great deal. It's a difficult town with a lot of people who kind of come and live for a while and then move off again. But again, there's a light and a witness to the Lord Jesus in that town now. And so I suppose from, if you like, from one church in 1980, there are seven Baptist churches now, and you know, reaching out into Passage West. The Middleton Church is reaching out again into the town of Carrigtwohill. And so there's that desire, again, to see the gospel going forward and to see more churches being planted. Now, let me illustrate like this, Jason. Every year, the Cork churches used to get together for what they call a joint service. And it was nothing to do with drugs. It was just a joint service of all the churches coming together. And Martin Parker, one the pastor in Westside Church, would say, hey, look, isn't this great? 400 or 500 people in the one room, big service. And obviously, we all love the buzz of big numbers. But he asked the question, why don't we do that every week? Why don't we come together like this every week and have a big church? We'd be the biggest church in Cork, for example. And the answer was, because we're committed to seeing local churches being planted in local towns where local people can hear the good news of the Lord Jesus and come to faith in him. And then that local church is an expression of that local community. And so that, in a sense, was the vision of the Cork Project, and it's been realized to a certain degree. It really broke our hearts to leave y'all in 2014 when I was called into this role. And in fact, our plan was, when the y'all church was built up, we were going to move to the town of Dungarvan, which is in County Waterford, where, again, there's no real clear gospel witness. And our desire was to go and to begin again in Dungarvan and to see in time a church established there. We still would have a real heart's desire to see something established in Dungarvan in time to come. Now, it couldn't be the Cork Project anymore then, and it had become the Cork Kerry Project actually in between, because churches in Kerry had kind of come on board with the vision as well. When the Westside Church began to take an interest in the church in Killarney, and so it is the Cork Kerry Project. If we moved to Waterford, I'm not sure what it would be called, but that's the same vision, to see again a place where there's no light, no witness, where the gospel's not being made known, to see a group of people coming to faith and seeing a life being established. So that's really what we were involved in. And like I said, we were a very small part of what a bigger picture that God was doing. And ultimately, Jason, it is God doing it. And he uses weak, insignificant instruments, like you and I ultimately, but you know what? You look back and you see the grace of God and God at work, and God answering the faithful prayers of people, and just blessing the sowing of his word and his spirit. And that's what we long to see on this island, where there are so many towns still where that don't have that vibrant gospel witness, and so many people who live sadly and die even more sadly and go into eternity without maybe having heard the good news of Jesus Christ and his finished work upon that cross once. And that's a tragedy. And so to me, we want to see the gospel spreading in Ireland even quicker than the COVID-19 virus has been spreading, and to see people coming to know him. And that's why, you know, and the best way, as we can see it in terms of Baptist missions, and what we see in scripture, and I think what our association of churches sees, is that the key way in which God uses to establish and to make the gospel known is through local churches. So that's what we're committed to.
Now, that's a great point. I'm glad you said that, because most people don't realize that, you know, a lot of times people think about churches as just, we're servicing the needs of the already Christians. But remember that the church becomes the primary evangelistic tool that God uses. And so when you incarnate a church in a new community, man, evangelism becomes a part of that, and the gospel goes forward in that community. And so church planting becomes the tool, you know, for evangelizing areas that don't know the gospel. I mean, you can send an evangelist in
have him come out. But man, when you plant a church there and you say we're working in this community, and that's where God really, really starts to move. So I appreciate you saying that, because I don't think we often think about that.
No, and our motto in Baptist Missions, and Baptist Missions, all we are a ministry or a department of the Association of Baptist Churches in Ireland, of which Galway City Church is a member. And so Baptist Missions, in a sense, belongs to you as a church as much as it belongs to all the other churches on the island. And so our motto is proclaiming Christ and planting churches. And so I suppose we see in the New Testament, there's nowhere in the New Testament that I can find, now maybe you can correct me, Jason, on this one. I can't find anywhere in the New Testament, though, where evangelism is carried out that's not in the context of from a church with the aim of seeing a church being established. You know, it was never, you know, just kind of like parachute in and do what you say and then run off again. The whole pattern in the New Testament was, you know, Paul and Silas sent out from Antioch to go and come back. They reported back to the church in Antioch then what they've been doing, how God had worked through them. Yeah. And it was in the establishment of local communities of believers, gathered company, an ecclesia, a church, that ultimately came into vogue. And I think the thing is, Philip Moore, actually, who we had over our missions night back in May, he says this, that every church has to remember that it itself was a church plant.
Yeah.
So although there's folks maybe in Galway City this morning listening to us, thinking, well, maybe this church has always been here, or how did it arrive? Actually, it's a plant. Some, you know, it was planted. And in a sense, if people think like that, hey, somebody came and told us, so now we have a church here, look at all that we can enjoy, but it started somewhere. Now, surely we want to have that in every town in Ireland, in every community, that everybody has an opportunity to hear about Jesus and the blessing of being part of a local body of believers. And so every church needs to remember it was a church plant and go on to plant other churches.
Well, that's a good transition. So now in your role in Baptist Missions, you kind of get the privilege of helping to facilitate some of that. So tell us a little bit about what you do now, and maybe a little bit about what's going on in other parts of Ireland. And I know you're outside of Ireland as well. So just tell us a little bit about Baptist Missions.
Yeah, well, to be honest, I never thought I'd be in this role. And in my interview, I said, look, if they're looking for a guy that's going to sit in an office all day and have a really neat, tidy desk, you know, then they got the wrong person, because I can't sit in an office all day and do that. And I suppose one of the joys is now that I suppose in terms of what I do and my personal assistant, Joanne, who does all the admin work really behind the scenes, is, I suppose, seeking to help and support and care for and help in any way we can the guys that we have on the ground involved in evangelism and church planting. And at the moment, on the island of Ireland, I suppose we are connected to 10 church planting works that are taking place. Seven of them are in the Republic, and three of them are here in the north. And I suppose, again, it's just that partnership together, like I was saying about in Cork. It's maybe churches that maybe can't afford maybe to have their own, if like, church planter. And so Baptist Missions, because we're supported by the 117 churches, we can maybe supply a worker to a church and to begin to spearhead maybe a church plant. But obviously a church is only planted by a church. One individual will never do it. And so, you know, the church planter maybe goes to spearhead that, and the church itself then, if it's got a vision to do that. So, for example, let me take you to Cavan. The Cavan Church was formed in 1993, and they now have a real desire and a heart to see other churches being planted in the county of Cavan. And so we appointed a guy, Joel Marcus, some of you may know. He was the assistant pastor in Cavan for a couple of years. And he's now a Baptist Missions worker working in partnership with the Cavan Church to see a church established in Belturbet. And the joy there is that they before lockdown had begun to meet on a monthly basis as well. And they were beginning to maybe begin to meet more regularly than that. But again, they're seeing people in the village of Belturbet and in the surrounding area being impacted with the good news about Jesus, because they're meeting locally. And meanwhile, the Cavan Church, I think, has continued to grow, even though they've lost some people to Belturbet. And I think that's that's what God does as well. He doesn't have to do it, but by and large, what we've seen, Jason, is that when churches step out in faith and give away some of their best people to plant another church, God often replenishes the people who've left with more. And so that's what we're seeking to do. Like I said, Passage West, I mentioned earlier, from the Douglas Church, they're seeking to plant a church there. We've got Matt Tuttleby up in Bundoran, which is a much more barren place, again, for the gospel, working from the Sligo Church. Now, if you know your geography, Sligo to Bundoran is a long way. So, you know, it's not close. And that just kind of shows how much need there is even between Sligo and Bundoran in terms of churches and so forth. But Matt Tuttleby is plugging away there and getting to know the community as well. And so they're the kind of church plants. There was a church planted in Black Rock in South County Dublin. They formed as a church back last September, I think it was. I just can't remember the exact date now. But again, we worked in partnership with Grosvenor Road in supplying a worker for them. Richard McConnell has now been called as the pastor of Black Rock. And in time, he will become less of a Baptist missionary and more a full-time pastor. And they'll take on the responsibility for his salary. And the plan will be then that we'll go on to see more churches being planted. Look, this is my own personal... I'm convinced there's room on the island of Ireland, and I suppose in the Republic I'm thinking more of, for 100 more Baptist churches without us treading on any other evangelical work or duplicating where there's a work being done. In Dublin alone, I think we could see another 30 churches being planted at least. You know, communities where there's no gospel witness. And to be honest, that is kind of our unwritten rule. When I was in Cork, you know, the vision was to see, if like more Baptist churches being planted, but it was in towns where there was no other evangelical witness. So, you know, if there is a vibrant evangelical witness, we're not going to go and duplicate that, because there's so many places where there's nothing. But that, I would say, on the island of Ireland, there's at least room for another 100 churches without duplicating or building in any other man's foundation. And so the challenge is there and the need is there. And we all need to be involved. In every member in Galway City Baptist Church needs to be as involved and committed and praying and burdened to see these churches being planted as anybody else. And my job, I suppose, is to promote the work of the mission among the churches, trying to get more guys on the ground that, in partnership with other churches, that we can see more works. We have two or three more people in the pipeline potentially. And obviously at the moment with COVID-19 and the uncertainty and the financial uncertainty, some of that stuff's been put on hold. But the long-term goal will be to see even more people been set apart. And if I can take you to Peru briefly, and I know Peru maybe seems a long, far away and very distant, but you know what? It's the same need in Peru. And we've got a guy in Peru, they're seeking to plant churches there. It's a different way of doing it there. Sometimes you need to get a building and a plot of land and actually have somewhere to meet before you can do it a whole lot more. But again, they're as committed to trying to see new areas being reached as thousands of people come down from the mountains in Peru into the cities for better way of living, maybe a better job, whatever. And they're building these new communities rising up. These guys are committed to going out and reaching them and seeing churches being established among them as the people come to those areas. So it's the same work in a very different cultural context, and yet the gospel is the same, the need is the same, and that's what they're doing. So praise God. God is at work, God's at work on this island, and we want to see more of his kingdom being established as churches are planted. And so I would say to the folks in Galway City, come on, let's get on board this train together and see more churches being planted in Galway and in Connacht. Not to give you or I the glory, Jason, not to give Baptist Missions fame or World Venture or anything, but actually that ultimately the name and person and work of the Lord Jesus is uplifted and known throughout this island. He's the one we want to see uplifted. His name, his fame is what we want to make known on this island.
Yeah, very good. Well, you know, our desire, as we've talked about, is, you know, we have a couple here that just arrived, and we're hoping to get them into Oranmore and see a church planted over time, you know, with people maybe feeling like, hey, yeah, God wants me to be involved in this, and being willing to go with them to see a new work developed in Oranmore. So, I mean, that's what we want to see happen as well. But just tell us, just finally, you spoke a little bit about 100 more churches, but tell us about your vision. You know, what is it that keeps you up at night? You know, when you think about the future and Baptist missions and the island of Ireland, and then, you know, are there some specific ways that we as a church can be involved in that vision?
Well, I suppose what does sometimes wake me up in the early hours of the morning is thinking about, I suppose, the need that there is on this island, and France and Spain and Peru, we have responsibilities as well. It's longing to see more workers. And the Lord Jesus said, you know, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send out more workers into his harvest field. I suppose times part of the issue of that, quite frankly, is finance, Jason. And I do want to thank the Galway City Church for their generous support for Baptist missions, particularly over recent years. And that's obviously, we rely on the support of all 117 churches to fund the work that we do, to put the guys in the ground. I think the longing too for me is to see some of these new churches that have been planted actually growing significantly and getting to a place where actually they can stand on their own 2 feet financially as well, and with leadership in place and godly men as elders, and then actually having the strength then as a springboard to go on and plant again themselves. I would love to see every church in the Republic, particularly every church involved in a church plant, every church thinking about where else could we plant a church. And if Baptist missions can in any way come alongside and help and partner in that and encourage that, then that's really what we want to be doing, and what I should be doing in my role, and caring for and supporting and encouraging the guys that are on the ground doing that. So to me, that's what we want to see. You know, it's not going to happen overnight. We haven't seen any sort of quick things happening. And to me, sometimes it takes longer, but if a good foundation is laid, then usually that lasts. If in my tombstone or something, you know, it says something like, you know, well, I don't know, he helped in some small way to see more churches established. That's maybe getting a bit long now, but maybe not my tombstone, but something, you know, to me.
Your mausoleum. It'll be,
yeah, mausoleum. I want to be. But, you know, because to me, that's what Scripture told us to do. Because when Jesus says, you know, and teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you, to me, that can only happen in the context of a local church. And so more churches on this island. And then here's my thing, Jason. Here's the vision is this. If we had more people coming to faith in Ireland and more churches established, I'd love to see a whole generation of Irish people. And I don't care what their original background or the color of their skin. I'm talking about people living in Ireland. So raised up to go to places like France and Spain and Italy and other countries. And you see in France and Spain at the moment, there's thousands upon thousands of people coming into France and Spain and Germany and other countries from North Africa, the Middle East, places that by and large we can't go to as missionaries. But actually, if we saw more people come to faith in Ireland and a whole army, a generation of saints and scholars being raised up and being called out and being sent out, that the Irish church becomes a sending church rather than a receiving church. There can be receiving church as well. I think it needs to work both ways, because, you know, we'll never be self-sufficient in that sense, but we want to be sending as well. And I think with people going into Europe, that could be reaching into people in North Africa, in the Middle East, and hey, across the world. And so to me, that's the vision I have, is to see, yes, Ireland being reached with the gospel, but then God using the church in Ireland as a springboard to reaching the nations for his glory. And I suppose at this moment in time in Baptist missions, I'm primarily concerned for France and Spain and Peru. But look, there's hundreds of people from all sorts of nationalities living in all those countries. And to me, if we're reaching people there, who knows where else the gospel might go from there as well.
That's great. That's great. Well, thank you very much. We love you. We appreciate your ministry. And we definitely want to be praying for you and participating with you. I think that's a vision that I know I share personally. And hopefully, as a church, we feel strongly about that as well.
And Jason, look, if anybody, I don't know, if people are on social media or whatever, I mean, probably the best thing people can do in the Galway City Church is to pray for us. And our website, irishbaptistmissions.org, people go onto that and they can sign up and they can receive by email a weekly prayer update. And they might maybe pick a town in Ireland or a place, or they might know somebody and just commit themselves to praying for that. That would be the most important thing anybody could do. Those of you who are on social media, if you want to like our Facebook page or follow us on Instagram at Irish Baptist Missions, then do that as well. And then, you know, sometimes we post things there and you just maybe pray for an individual or pray for a situation. That would be tremendous, because really the only way we're going to see all of this happening, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. And so it's really praying and beseeching God and calling unto him to work as only he can, that we'll see the vision realized and what we've been talking about this morning.
That's great. Well, I want to pray for you, and I want to pray for your ministry. And then I know that you're going to share with us a little bit from God's word just to encourage us. So just thank you in advance for that as well. But let me pray that God would bless his work here on the island. Father, thank you for Mervyn. Thank you for his family, their faithfulness in the years past in Cork and the way that you use them. Father, we know that it's a credit to you and your Spirit working through them. And so we thank you. We thank you, Father, that you can work through anyone like that in that way if we will we'll be willing and faithful. And so we thank you for Mervyn and Karen's years of faithfulness as they planted seed and nurtured it, and Father watched it grow. We thank you for that. And we pray just for Mervyn in his present role. We pray for his effectiveness, that Father, he would be faithful, but then Father, that you would take that faithfulness, and through your Spirit, that it would be effective, that he would be able, and we would be able to see churches planted. We pray for financial provision. We pray that you would call out people, that you would put just an insatiable hunger and desire in them to see churches planted, to see people come to faith. And then Father, that you would bless that we would see churches in all these places. So Father, we entrust ourselves to you. We entrust Baptist Missions to you and Mervyn as well. And so we thank you for this time that we've been able to get to know him a little bit better. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jason. And it's a joy to be with you. Well, not to be with you this morning in Galway in a sense, but I hope someday soon when things return to normal, I'll get down to see you some Sunday morning in Galway if you have me again. I'd like to turn to God's word for a few minutes together. We're looking in the book of 2 Kings this morning. It's always dangerous to dip into a book in the Bible. But to give a little bit of context, 2 Kings chapter 6, and then we're really going to focus in chapter 7. The year is 850 BC. We're in the city of Samaria. The city is under lockdown. It's surrounded by the enemies of God, the Arameans or the Assyrians, as they may be called in some translations. The city is facing starvation and death. And we come across four lepers in this story. Four lepers who are facing death themselves at the city gate, who decide to go over to the camp of the enemy. And well, let's pick up in verse 24 of chapter 6, just to get the context of what's going on in the city of Samaria, 850 BC. Sometime later, Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, mobilized his entire army and marched up and laid siege to Samaria. There was a great famine in the city. The siege lasted so long that a donkey's head sold for 80 shekels of silver and a quarter of a cob of seed pods for 5 shekels. The city was under lockdown. There was huge price inflation, and so food that people would not even maybe normally eat was being sold for hugely inflated prices. Maybe a bit like going to Tesco's or Dunn's stores and finding that last loaf of bread on the shelf because of the coronavirus crisis. And when you get to the till, instead of it being maybe €1.50 or whatever normally, it's €25 for maybe a loaf of bread that looks stale and half molded. That's the situation that people were facing. In fact, they were facing starvation. They were destitute. Let's pick up the story in verse 1 of chapter 7. Elisha, God's prophet, God's man, God who was entrusted with bringing the word of God to the people. Elisha says, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow, a seah of flour will sell for a shekel and two seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. God is saying through his prophet Elisha, there's going to be huge change. And tomorrow, there's going to be rapid deflation and the situation in the city is going to be changed dramatically. The officer of the king responds in verse 2. He says, the officer on whose arm the king was leaning said to the man of God, look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of the heavens, could this happen? So he doubted God's word. He doubted that what the prophet was saying was true. He doubted maybe even that God could do it. Even if the Lord opened the heavens, could that be? You will see it with your own eyes, answered Elisha, but you will not eat any of it. In other words, God is going to do what God said he's going to do. You're going to see it, but you're not going to taste it. Verse 3, now there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. They said to each other, why stay here until we die? If we say we'll go into the city, the famine is there, and we will die. And if we stay here, we will die. Let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, we die. We've all heard the phrase, been stuck between a rock and a hard place. Well, these four lepers were stuck between a really difficult rock and a really hard place. If they stayed at the entrance of the gate of the city, they were going to die anyway of starvation. If they went into the city, well, everybody in there was dying anyway of starvation, so they saw no hope. And they decided, well, let's go over and surrender ourselves to our enemies. And if they kill us, well, we're no worse off than we'd be if we stay here. And this is what happened. At dusk, when nobody could see them, they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. When they reached the edge of the camp, not a man was there. For the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army, so that they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and Egyptian kings to attack us. So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. The men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp and entered one of the tents. They ate and drank and carried away silver, gold and clothes and would often hid them. They returned and entered another tent and took some things from it and hid them also. Then they said to each other, we're not doing right. This is a day of good news, and we are keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace. Could you imagine those four lepers? They arrived on the edge of the camp, expecting possibly to be killed, or at least to be made into slaves or treated badly. But they arrive on the edge of the camp and discover that the Arameans, the Syrians, have fled. The camp is empty, and all this food and clothing and silver and gold, more than they could ever have imagined, is laying before them. And in the midst of their feasting, in the midst of carrying away silver and gold and clothes and hiding them, and returning to another tent and getting things from them and hiding them also, in the midst of their enjoying the bounty of what God had miraculously provided, they realize, no, this is wrong. If we keep this news to ourselves, if we keep this hope of rescue to ourselves, then punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report it to the royal palace. And this morning, brothers and sisters in Galway, can I apply this message in this way? Do you know, we in the Lord Jesus, we in the gospel, we through what God has done in keeping his promise of his word, of sending a savior, of sending a deliverer, of sending a rescuer, through what Christ has accomplished on the cross, through his death and resurrection, we have something far better than rescue from physical death to tell people about. We have something far better than even a vaccine for the coronavirus to be found. We have in the gospel, in the good news of our Lord Jesus, a message that says it's possible for ordinary people like you and I to be forgiven for all our sins, to be restored into right relationship with God, to be made ready for that day when the Lord Jesus comes again and be ushered into that new heaven and new earth. Well, there will be no more suffering, no more sickness, no more pain, no more death. for God himself will wipe every tear from our eyes. We have found hope, eternal hope, through what the Lord Jesus has done, through a miracle that God alone has done, through what Christ has accomplished upon the cross when he cried, "It is finished." Everything that was done in that once and for all sacrifice for sins, for God who is just, for that penalty to be paid, and for God's justice to be reckoned. And yet in the greatest act of love that this world has ever seen, God punishing his son in our place, that we could know forgiveness and peace with him. Brothers and sisters, this morning, this is a day of good news. We are living in the day of grace. We still have opportunity to tell people, whether it's across the street or around the world, of the hope that we have found in the Lord Jesus, of the peace that we have found with God through our Lord Jesus, of the joy that we have in knowing that we belong to him, that we've been rescued, not from physical death and starvation, but we've been rescued from spiritual death. From physical death, yes, in the sense that when we pass through the valley of the shadow of death, God will be with us, but from eternal death, and we will reign with him forever in that new heaven and new earth. Friends, what hope we have this morning in this good news of the gospel. Can I ask you, whoever you are, wherever you're from, are you looking to God to use you in telling others this good news? You see, those four men that God used in this story in 2 Kings were four ordinary men. In fact, they were probably the lowest, the despised, the rejected of the city because of their leprosy. And yet God took four ordinary men and used them to be able to pass on, to communicate the message that God had worked and God had provided and God had given them the means of rescue. This is a day of good news. We dare not keep the good news of the Lord Jesus to ourselves. All of you there in that church in Galway need to be involved in telling your friends, your family, your neighbours, the people you work with, this good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus, that we may see more and more people in this land of Ireland coming to know him, being rescued from their sins, being born again by the Spirit of God, brought into God's kingdom, and to see his name and his fame being spread in this land and across the world. May God bless you in all you're seeking to do in Galway in these days. And may God use you all to tell others about Christ, to tell others his good news of rescue through what Christ has done. And may you see great things being accomplished for his name in the days that lie ahead. God bless you all. Thank you for listening. And hopefully we'll see each other soon. Take care.
Thank you, Mervyn, for bringing God's word to us this morning. We really appreciate it. I need to make an announcement about GDPR. Now, if your level of interest in all things GDPR matches mine, then you'll be tempted to switch this off straight away. But please don't do that. This is really quite important. It's vital that we as a church are compliant with all relevant GDPR legislation, but more importantly, that our rights are upheld and that our personal information and data is safe and secure and protected insofar as we use it to communicate within the church. At the moment, most information and most announcements are passed from the church to various groups within the church via WhatsApp. Now, WhatsApp is neither GDPR compliant nor does it protect our personal information. And for that reason, we'll be ceasing to use it as a communications tool within the church very shortly. So how are we going to effectively maintain communication without using WhatsApp? Well, a number of us over the last number of weeks have been investigating various options that might be available for us to do this. And we've also spoken to a number of churches to see what their experiences in this area have been. And having done all that, we have settled on a solution which we think best meets the needs of our church and its communications. And that solution is called Church Suite. Now, Church Suite is fully GDPR compliant, and using Church Suite will enable us to keep our data, our personal information, safe and secure and protected. Within Church Suite, we'd all be able to set up our own personal profile, and we'd be able to set preferences as to how we want to receive communication from the church and what information we would like to receive from the church. It will also be possible to set up and build a church directory, which will make communicating with each other more easy and more effective. But even then, we'll be able to set within our preferences what of our contact details, if any, we would like to be visible to other members and attendees within the church. We think Church Suite will be a very effective and safe communications tool for the church to use. Now, over the next week or so, you will see some communication about Church Suite and how we're going to get Church Suite up and running and off the ground. We would like you to respond to that communication as soon as you possibly can, please, if you would like to continue to receive information and announcements from the church. Because as I said, WhatsApp as a communications tool for those announcements will be ceasing very shortly. So if you want to receive information from the church, please do respond to that communication about Church Suite as soon as you possibly can. Keep an eye out for it. A couple of other announcements. Just a reminder that Jason's studies in Hebrews will continue over the next week on Tuesday and Thursday. My study in James will continue on Wednesday, please God. I hope you have a very blessed week, and may the Lord Jesus Christ bless us and keep us safe as we seek to be faithful disciples of him in the coming days, wherever we are involved. God bless. Have a great week.